started this morning, why don't you go to two or three people and tell them how glad you are to see them this morning. Good morning, sir. Good to see you. You guys may be seated if you made it back to your seat. Good to see everybody this morning. How many of y'all have enjoyed the services like I have this week? Woo, I tell you, they've been good, ain't they? Answers flowing. How many of y'all like me are thankful that God doesn't want His people ignorant? He doesn't want you to suffer through and just make it till we get to the by and by. He wants us successful in the kingdom of God. Amen. He wants us to represent Him well. Amen. Yeah. Well, this morning, we're going to go ahead and get started. We'll pray and then we'll get started. We're going to be turning to Luke 16, but we'll open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity once again to come before You, where we are able to receive from the wonderful word that You have given to us by Your Spirit through the men of old that have gone before us, Father. This morning, we thank You that as we begin to enter into the Word this morning, that Your Spirit would unveil, He would unfold, He would pull the cover back, that He would begin to reveal to us those things that will cause us to come up to a higher level of living than we've ever seen before, Father. That we would be able to see farther than we've ever seen, and we would be able to clearly discern what it is that You've called us to and to walk in that day by day in faith. We give You all the glory, all the honor and all the praise for it. In the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you want to, open up with me to Luke 16, verse 8. And we're going to be reading that in the King James and then in the Amplified. That'll be Luke 16, verse 8. And we'll go ahead and read. They've got it pulled up on the screen for us. It says, "And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." And we'll go ahead and pull that up in the Amplified. I mentioned this scripture on, Thursday morning, I believe it was, when we were ministering. And God said He wanted me to go back to it and just hit it for a minute and then we'll move on. The Amplified reads, before we read the Amplified, we'll just go through a little bit of what's going on here. So there was a steward, there was a manager that was over his master or the owner's business. He ran the books. He ran all of the dealing with the people of distributing the goods, of buying and selling. And so he took care of the master's process, all of his distributions, everything. Well, in time, this steward began to steal and began to fluff his pocket, and he would cook the books, as we would call it. He was dealing illegally. He was robbing from his master as he would take goods, as he would take payment. He would begin to steal from him. And so the master had found out about it and he said, "I'm going to fire you. I'm letting you go. Set your house in order. Get your things ready." And so what this guy did was he knew the books that his master didn't know. And so he went and started telling all of them, "So what do you owe my master? $80 for this bushel, or you owe $800? Cut it in half. Pay it right now. I'll write it in the books as paid in full." What was he doing? Well, he was giving a benefit to the ones that owed his master, but he was actually making a way for himself. So when he didn't have a job, he says, "I'm too proud to go back to digging." Yeah. He was actually cooking the books and trying to make a way for himself so that he could just walk out of this job and have somewhere to lay his head down. Yeah. And it's illegal. Right. What he was doing is cooking the books. That's why this says, it says that his master praised, the Amplified brings it out a little bit better. It says the master praised the dishonest and unjust manager for acting shrewdly and prudently. Yeah. So the master was impressed. He wasn't happy with what he did. Right. Yeah. But he was impressed, meaning that he was skillful in knowing how to work in darkness or in the system that he's a part of. You know, in this day and age, people will get on Facebook, they'll get on social media, they'll be like, can you believe what they're saying in the news? And can you believe what they're doing in this state and in that state and in this government official? Can you believe? And the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, well, the scripture told us that darkness is just going to get what?
Darker.
It's going to become gross darkness. We should not be, surprised that they're acting in a darker manner than they ever have before. If we truly believe that Jesus is coming back soon, the scripture says what's associated with that is that darkness will become darker, but the light's job is to do what? Become brighter, or that light should shine farther in and through us than it ever has before. Well, if the darkness is getting, and I wanted to bring this out, the master praised the dishonest, unjust manager for acting shrewdly and prudently. For the sons of this age are shrewder and more prudent and wiser where? Notice this. In relation to their own generation, mean that they are becoming more skillful at being and operating in the darkness. Yeah. But it says here that if they are getting wiser in their generation, they are wiser to their own age and kind than who? The sons of light. But the scripture tells us that if they are to get darker, then we should become what?
Brighter.
In correlation with this scripture, what does that mean? It means that the children of light, say that's us, we should become more skillful, not in acting the way that the world does, but we should become more skillful in the kingdom that we're associated with, in the kingdom that we're a part of, meaning the way that the kingdom of God operates and functions, we should become not only aware of it, not only trained in it, but we should begin to operate it in a way that the darkness looks at us and there is a defining line of the light and the darkness. They say, we see that the darkness is here, but I look over there and there is a bright light. There is a hedge of protection around them. They are operating and functioning in a way that I have never seen before, and it causes them to be drawn to you because of the light showing through you, because you have become more skillful in the light. Amen? Now here it says that the darkness was more skillful. But in this day and age, I'm proclaiming that the body of Christ, the group that we run with, we're becoming more skillful, more understanding, more revelation is operating and being given to us because we're functioning in the revelation we've been given. Amen? Amen. And this week, how many of y'all can say, light's been shed? There's been word given. There's been revelation. We're coming up to a new place. Amen? And you should not be prideful about that. But what that means is that God is pleased with how you have functioned in the revelation you've been given. So He sees fit to give you more. Amen? Amen. Now, if you would, go with me to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, we said all that to get into this. Galatians 5, so we want to become more skillful in light, which is the Word of God, in revelation. We want to become more aware of it. We want to become more aware of our everyday functioning. You know, when I first started in faith, and when I would have conversations with people, it seemed that people would use faith almost as it was the medicine cabinet in their house. Amen. Now, what is the purpose of a medicine cabinet in your house? Well, it holds all of the things necessary that if you have an accident, you run to that place. If you're in a problem, you don't go to it every day typically. Typically, it is something that is there for a rainy day or for problematic situations. You know what I mean? It's your med bag. It's your med kit that you carry in case of a problem. And I would talk to people, and it would seem that you would ask them, they would begin to tell you about all the problems, all the situations that were going on in their life, and they would start going down a row or a list of things that they had tried to do of their own ability to rectify the problem, but when they got to the end of the rope where they couldn't fix it, they would say, but you know, I just had to turn to the Word of God. Meaning it was their only opportunity, it was their last line of resort, and that did not sit well with me. It should not be the last place I look when I have a problem. The Word of God should be the first place that I go to. Whenever there's any cause, any kind of situation, calamity, anything rises up, my first thought should be, what does the Word of God say and how I should handle this situation? If I'm going to become skillful as a Kingdom of God member and person, an example, and we'll get into it to where we're called ambassadors of Christ. If I'm going to become skillful with that, then I need to be training in it every single day. It's not something I go to when there's a problem or when I can't fix the situation. If I'm truly skillful at it, if I am one of one, I mean, I am become, my brother Ricky was in the military and they went through basic training. And then when you go into military, you know what it is when you get under gunfire, you know what they tell you to go back to? Remember your training. Go back to the basics. Why? Because there's going to be fear. There's going to be worry. There's going to be all of these things that are coming at you trying to grab your attention that will make you or try to motivate you to make an irrational decision in the heat of the moment. And what they will constantly tell you is, remember your training. Why? Because you have been put in a position to where you have already got the answer on the inside of you of how to handle the situation. But if you act irrationally, or if you go back to the old mindset of, we about to handle this. You get to the gas station and somebody whips in front of you at the gas pump, and you're like, oh, we're going to get out and we're going to help them real quick. We're going to show them the love of Jesus. We're going to kill them and then we're going to raise them back from the dead. We're going to help them out. What is that? The enemy is looking for an avenue into your life. One of my biggest, say, pet peeves, one of the biggest things that used to irritate me, I really don't anymore, is I would be at the grocery line. And I would have, there were 10 items and then they bumped it up to 20 items. 20 items or less. And I go up there and I've counted. I have done my due diligence. I've got 14 items in my basket. Apparently this hits a note with somebody. And I'm in there and I've got 14 items and I have counted it down. I mean, I've even separated to make sure, well, maybe they're counting this as 6 instead of 1 as a package. I have done my due diligence. And somebody's up there with 422 items in their buggy. And you are looking. And there is no way they've got 20 items in their buggy. And I wanted to walk up to them and be like, I don't know if you saw the sign. I'm going to help you count. 1, 400. Get out. You got too many items in your buggy to be in this line. I am going to help you. And it would irritate me to the point where I felt it was my personal responsibility to the community and in the social gathering where we were to correct this situation, to be the police of the Walmart line, the 20 items or less, to write them a ticket, they're going to give me a reward, they're going to give me a key to the city, because I have taken my responsibility, taken it upon myself to rectify this problem that nobody else seems to have a problem with. It is amazing how the enemy will work and find exactly what it is that will cause you to let go of your peace, to let go of your joy. He will find what works on you. I mention this every time because it is amazing. Mom and Dad find the worst drivers on the highway everywhere they go. And they always get right in front of Mom and Dad in the fast lane. And the sign will say 80 and they'll go 55. Not Mom and Dad, the people in front of them. And it is one of the wildest things. Me and Leslie will be riding with Mom and Dad. Me and Leslie will go on an 8-hour trip. And I mean, it's so easy. Pull up to the pump. Every pump is empty. Choose which one you want. The blessings of God are just pouring out. Nobody cuts us off. People are waving us in front of them. I'm like, bless you, my child. And then Mom and Dad get on the road, and they are 5 minutes down the road from Pawnee on an 8-hour trip. And they have had 3 semis cut them off. Tell them they're number one. All of these things. And I'm riding in the car and I said, dear God, what is that? It's a button. It's the button. Mama pointing fingers. It's the button that the enemy has found that can begin to irritate and to put them in a position to where he has access. We have to become skillful with the kingdom that we're of, You cannot handle situations the same way you used to when you were of the kingdom of darkness. Because if you do, you make yourself subject to the kingdom you're operating under. Yeah. And when you are subject to that kingdom, the rules that dominate that kingdom now have access to not only you, but everything that's underneath your hand. Yeah. And people think, well, I'm just going to settle this situation real quick, and then I'll ask for forgiveness. Well, you can do that, but how long are you going to keep the door open to the enemy? Because if you choose to relinquish your rights in the kingdom of God and all of the blessings in His favor just for 5 minutes, if you're not under His kingdom, you are operating and functioning under another kingdom. You are giving yourself and everything under your hand access and ownership of that to the enemy. You turn yourself over to him. And that is everything. That's why I said it would irritate me when people would talk about faith. They would talk about joy and peace as a last resort. And I'm thinking, you want to know why you have all of these problems? It's because you are trying to function under the kingdom of darkness until you find out that you cannot resolve this issue. Then you want to run to God and beg Him for mercy and forgiveness when the whole time He was saying, you didn't have to go through this calamity. Yeah. I was always here. My kingdom was always available to you. You chose to be subject to another kingdom. And when you did that, you made yourself subject to the rules, the regulations, and all of the things that come along with the kingdom of darkness. I found I'm not going to subject myself, my kids, my wife, my church, not my church, but the church that we've been put over under the hand of God, under mom and dad's hand and authority. I'm not going to subject the people in my church to that chaos and calamity because I feel the need to allow my flesh to rule for 5 minutes. I have found that I'm under another kingdom, and if I want the kingdom of light, the goodness of God to rule in me all the time, then I have to constantly be a subject of that kingdom. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So where do we go? Galatians 5:13. Galatians 5:13, and we're going to read down through. I said, Galatians 5:13. And the King James on that one will be great. They've got it pulled up there. It says, "For you, brethren, were indeed called to..." Yeah. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, which is freedom. Only us not liberty, only use not liberty, for an occasion to do what? Isn't that interesting? Don't use this freedom and liberty that you've been given to assault the own kingdom that you're a part of. Don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by love, serve what?
One another.
Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15. But if you bite, devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Now I have a question. Are we talking to Gentiles, unborn again people? No, we're talking to brethren and sisters in Christ, meaning that they have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In this, a weird conversation that you think you don't have to have with born-again believers, but yet it had to be recorded for us. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill what? When it says walk in the Spirit, what that is meaning is not to live some superficial, fake, floating lifestyle. What it means is to live inwardly first. Amen. When you make a decision, you look inwardly to what the Spirit of God is leading you, guiding and directing on the inside of you. Before you make any irrational decision, you look inwardly. Amen. That's where the peace and the joy of the Lord is, on the inside of you. Amen. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not what? Now, most people think that this is talking about salvation. It's not. Because these people are already born again. What the kingdom of God is the kingdom in which, it's the place in which God's kingdom, His authority, His dominion, the authority of Christ has been delegated to the body of Christ. This is where there has been a place made available for God's very presence and kingdom to have dominion and to demonstrate itself. Amen. The kingdom of God to be inherited, it means to have, to inherit, you know, you say where, I'm a pull it up real quick because it's really good here in the, how they have it in the Strong's. Give me 1 second. Nope, thank you. Inherit, from the original concordance, it means to be an heir to. Literally or figuratively, be an heir or to obtain by inheritance. Now I want y'all to hear this. To receive a lot, receive a part of an inheritance, to receive as an inheritance, to obtain by right of inheritance, to be an heir, to inherit. And you're saying, it's saying all the same things over and over. I know it's good, isn't it? Yeah. To receive, now this is what I want you to hear. To receive the portion that has been assigned to me.
Amen.
Amen.
To receive the portion that has been assigned to me. How many of y'all believe that in the body of Christ, you have been given a place in the body of Christ? Remember what Paul said in Philippians 4? He said, my God shall supply all of what? Your needs. Meaning that God, before you were born, made a supply available for you and the call that He had on your life. That He did not just create a place for you, but that there was a supply, there was grace made available for you to fulfill what God had called you to.
Amen.
Well, in order to access this supply, to inherit the kingdom of God, you cannot function based upon what the flesh is desiring to do through you.
Amen.
The flesh and the actions or the manifestation of the flesh, carnality, the reaction to a situation from a flesh motive, will never inherit what God has made available to you.
Amen.
But yet, we see here, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love.
It is joy. It is peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is what?
No law.
Against such there is no law. Meaning that there, the law of sin, death, poverty, and lack cannot access where the kingdom of God is in domination.
Amen.
Amen.
Where the law had access to us before through the avenue of sin and death, the kingdom of God and that inheritance has ratified that. It has eradicated it. And through the blood of Jesus Christ and the atonement of sin through Him, you have been given access to a different kingdom. And when you function under these principles, under these fruit, when you give them first place in you, that kingdom begins to dominate around you, and where sickness and disease had access, there is no longer access to it. Where poverty and lack had access, there is nowhere in the hedge of protection where the enemy can get through and get into the things that belong to you, because they are operating under the dominion of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, go with me to Romans 14, verse 17. And we're going to read this in the ERV. I know we said we was going to read that in the Amplified, but we got some other things we want to hit on. So Romans 14, verse 17. in the ERV, they've got it pulled up. It says where? In God's kingdom.
Amen.
In God's kingdom. You have to understand that this is where you are. As a born-again believer, you have been brought into the kingdom of light. You have been placed under the hedge of protection that was bought and paid for by Jesus Christ Himself. You remember when Abraham, he was Abram, then God changed his name to Abraham. When he was traveling through the land and God said, everywhere your foot shall tread upon, I will give you as far as you can see. This belongs to you. Do you remember how Abraham saw himself? He said that he was a pilgrim. For he was looking for a city that was not made of natural hands. That's Levi's interpretation. But he was looking for a city that was not natural, that was not man-made, meaning what? He was searching for the kingdom of God. But up until that point, the old covenant people did not have access to this kingdom because the blood of Jesus had not been shed yet. So what Abraham was looking for is what's been made available to you and I. He was looking for the kingdom that he would be associated with that would give him access to the throne of God, which was made available to every born-again believer the moment you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen? Amen? So we see here in God's kingdom, say, that's where I am.
That's where I am.
In God's kingdom, what we eat, what we drink is not important. Here is what is important. A right way of life, which is righteousness, peace, and what?
Joy.
Joy, all from the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. Whoever does what?
Serves
Christ by living this way is what?
Pleasing God.
Is pleasing God, and they will be what?
Accepted
by others. Whoever serves Christ by living this way is what?
Pleasing God.
Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians 5:20. And the King James is fine on that one, sir. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, when?
Now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Amen.
Now then, we are what?
Ambassadors.
As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Amen. Now then, we are what?
Ambassadors.
Now, an ambassador is the highest official, the highest ranking official in foreign lands.
Amen.
A purpose of an ambassador is so that they will go to a foreign country and they will represent the country that they are of. They will make interactions with the foreign nationalities. They will make interaction. They will make peace. But their biggest job is to dominate the embassy in the place that they have been given in foreign soil to be a representation of the kingdom or the government that they represent.
Amen.
That is the job of an ambassador.
Yeah.
Yes.
Their home is back in the kingdom that they are.
Yeah.
But they have taken on their responsibility, their duties, and they have taken a leave from their home country. And they have placed themselves on foreign soil to do one thing, to exercise the authority and the desires of the kingdom of government that they have left.
Amen.
Amen? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now, go with me to Ephesians 6:20. Actually, go to verse 19, and then we'll read verse 20. In the King James, it reads in verse 19, Ephesians 6, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth how?
Boldly.
To make known what?
The mystery of the gospel.
The mystery of the gospel, which mystery there, if you have the concordance, it actually means hidden truth. The mystery of the gospel. Now verse 20. For which I am what?
An ambassador
in bonds. Now that word actually means chains, not meaning that Paul was forced as an ambassador, but he finds himself in servitude, and his greatest desire is to serve what Jesus Christ, the message he gave him. His greatest desire is to go forth, meaning that he has put restraints on himself to be this delegate, to go forth and to bring about the kingdom of God wherever he goes. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may do what?
Speak
boldly as I ought to speak. Will you pull up 19 and 20 in the Amplified for me? 19 and 20. And pray also for me, that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news, the gospel. Verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in a coupling chain in prison, pray that I may declare it boldly and how?
Courageously,
as I ought to do.
Amen.
What the Spirit of God was doing, what he began to show me was, as we started out in Luke 16, 8, he started talking to me about how the kingdom of darkness has no problem going forward and proclaiming what they represent.
Yeah.
You can see it everywhere they go.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the way, people took the love of God as a reason to be weak and to not force things upon people. Well, we're not trying to force people to agree with what we agree with. But in that, we got complacent with the message that we were given, and we begin to back off of it because we didn't want to offend the people that were around us. Now, I'm not one to force people in what I believe. I don't go around making people see what I see and making them hear what I hear from the Word of God. But I have learned that as I live out the Word of God and the plan of God for my life, that there have been opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be able to share with people the gospel and the kingdom that I'm associated with.
Yeah.
Not forcing it on them, but an opportunity to share it with them.
Yeah.
What Paul got the revelation of was he knows that he is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
He understood that. But what he also understood, he even said, he goes, I long and desire to be with Christ, which is far better. But for who? But for your sakes, the people he was writing to, he said, it is better and more needful that I stay. Why? Because the kingdom of God has to be preached. The message has to be displayed. It has to be on demonstration in order for people to see what it is that God represents, what it is that God is desiring to do in people's lives. And the greatest demonstration of the kingdom of God is in calamity and turmoil to see somebody sit and laugh.
Amen.
The greatest demonstration of the kingdom of God is faith in action. And that will come through that when there is things that are coming against your mind, when there are things that are trying to just to disrupt everything that you're doing, when the enemy is putting pressure on your mind, and for you to take the peace of God, and instead of allowing yourself to sit in turmoil, and I call it dark room therapy, where people will go and turn all the shades down, they make dim all the lights down, and they just sit in there and they mull over their problems. And they'll sit there and they'll go over everything that the enemy's bringing up. And instead of doing that, you allow the peace of God that's on the inside of you that passes all understanding to rise up on the inside of you. And instead of engaging with the thoughts that are coming against what God has said, you engage with your spirit, what God has put on the inside of you, and you begin to allow the kingdom of God to bloom and to blossom and dominate from the inside of you. You will begin to see that kingdom of God will not only have an effect in you, but it'll begin to affect and infect everything around you that's under your dominion. That's how you are an active ambassador for Christ. You begin to allow the kingdom of God that has infused your spirit as a newborn again believer to begin to manifest, and you act in faith. You may not see it on the outside, but yet on the inside of you there is a stirring. There is a bubbling, and you say, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care the bills that we're facing. God told me to take this job. He led me to this house. He led me to this church. I know my assignment. I refuse to let go of what God has said to me, but I will stand, and the kingdom of God will not be overthrown by darkness, but yet the light will prevail, and the kingdom of God will begin to bloom and blossom in everything I touch. I refuse to allow what the enemy is telling me and trying to bring on me to overthrow when Jesus already bought and paid for the victory. I refuse to lay down. I refuse to let go of where God has brought us from and where He's brought us to. And the thing with this is, if we are going to come up to the next level, if we're going to enter into all that God has for us, if we're going to take on the new assignments that are before us, we have to become skillful where we are. Amen. I have never seen a private be promoted to a general.
Amen.
It has never happened. But yet the people, when they are in the heat of the moment, when they are in the middle of the battle and they can take instruction from their superior, and he says, we're going to take this house. We're going to take this farmhouse. Go in and get it. Take you four guys. And you don't look back and you're like, but what if there's bad guys in there? There probably are. That's why they are sending you in, because you have been taught in basic training how to handle yourself in hand-to-hand combat. Your job is to go in and to demonstrate the kingdom and the authority that you're of. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our job is to fight the good fight of what?
Faith.
Meaning that whatever attack is coming at my faith, trying to get me to lay down, to give up and let go of what God told me belongs to me, I refuse to do that. But as a good soldier, I will bear up my arms. I will take up the skill sets and the abilities given to me, and I will handle myself as a kingdom of God soldier. Amen? The greatest artillery, the greatest benefits that you have is love, joy, and peace.
Amen.
They will never leave you high and dry.
Yeah.
They will never abandon you, and they will never forfeit what it is that God has told you belongs to you.
Amen.
I was looking at Nehemiah. We'll pull up Nehemiah 8:10. I was looking at that where mom and dad have both been hitting on it, and it's been so good, hasn't it? The Holy Ghost has been nailing my hide to the wall, and I love it. It feels great. Nehemiah 8:10, it said, then Ezra told them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink, send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Now listen to this. Be not grieved and oppressed. Do you know that's not a question? It's not a suggestion. That was a command. Have you ever looked at Joshua 1? I mean, you go, you start, and it starts out just really awesome. Moses, my servant, is now dead. That's what God says. And he says, Joshua, you are now in charge of somewhere between 3 to 6 million Jews. And your job is to do what Moses and the Jews that were before you, the Israelites that came out of Egypt, what they couldn't do.
Yeah.
Your job is to go in and to take control of the land that I have given to you. Your job is to get them in position to go in and possess what I have already told them belongs to them. And he goes through about 7 or 8 scriptures and he says, be not afraid, only be strong and very courageous. Fear does not perform the will of God, and it does not bring about the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Fear and worry will never inherit what God has given to you.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again because that's good. Fear and worry will never inherit the kingdom of God and what God has made available to you. That's why every time an angel came to somebody, that's why every time God would show up in a magnificent way, he would say, be not afraid. Why? Because he did not want them to have opportunity to reject what he was fixing to give them. because he wanted them to be in a position to receive their answer so that they could go forth from the presence of God into all that he had for them. But he had to stop fear immediately before it had an opportunity to sever what he was about to give them. Amen? Amen. So here we see, be not grieved and depressed, for the what?
Joy.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now that word stronghold is very interesting.
Yeah.
Because it means a castle. It means a place of resistance when you're being bombarded.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is your hedge of protection.
Yes.
And I've heard this, I don't know if I've heard it 100 times, I've heard it 10,000 times. But for some reason, we got a little bit more light this week.
Yes.
For the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. And then he took me back to where he was talking through Paul, saying that you are an ambassador for Christ. Well, where is it that an ambassador rules and reigns from? It's a stronghold, which is an embassy. It is their place of dominion on foreign soil so that the enemy cannot infiltrate. He has no way to get in past the protection that's been hedged about him. Because the embassy is built to sustain and maintain that place of dominion against every assault and attack.
Yeah.
It is built.
Yeah.
It is made to ensure that the dominion is never given up.
Yeah.
And when I saw this, it said that the joy of the Lord is your strength and it is your stronghold.
Amen.
Meaning that this is the place of defense, that when every attack that the enemy is bringing against you to assault you as an ambassador, the joy of the Lord is your embassy. It is your place of protection. It is your hedge. It is your stronghold, so that when you access every situation with joy, there is no assault that can overthrow what God is wanting to do in your life. There is no cause for ground to be given up. When you take your place in joy as an ambassador, there is no assault.
Amen.
There is no assault that can overthrow what God is doing in your life. And at every attack, we'll begin to laugh and that hedge of protection will come up. I love it where when Satan came to God and he said, "What about Job?" And he said, "I have walked around Job and there is no place, there's no chink in his armor. You have a hedge of protection around him. There is no place that I can get in." Joy is your stronghold. Joy is your place of protection. Joy is your safe haven. When everything around you looks like calamity, I can go in and know that I am maintained. I am supplied. And I am in a place of protection because my God has built for me a hedge of protection around about me. When we become skillful with the artillery, with the skill set, with the benefits and the abilities that God has placed on the inside of this, there is no cause for remorse. There is no cause for mourning. There is no cause for defeat. Because as we become more skillful and more skillful, we see not only what it is that God's called us to do, but others around us will begin to see that there is nothing that can bring down the plan of God that He's placed on your life.
Amen.
There is no assault by the enemy that will cause you to come up defeated, but you will come out on the other side. He'll be assaulting you from every way, and you're sitting inside your embassy. You're sitting in your hedge of protection laughing. And they'll think there's a party going on inside. And people will come up to you and say, "Why can you laugh in such calamity? How can you sit here and find something funny to laugh about? I know the assault." And you say, "My hedge of protection was built for assaults just like this. For I'm not ignorant of the devil's devices. I'm not ignorant of them. But I know where my hedge of protection is. It's not me running out of there in fear and in worry, trying to fix the problem myself. My job as a born-again believer is when calamity comes knocking at the door, I say, "Everybody, gear up. Put your joy on. Kids going down the hall, y'all better be laughing. No crying right now. This is not the time for crying." "Yeah, but they're coming to take the house." I don't care. We're in the embassy when we're in joy. And when we're in the embassy, they can't assault us. They can't take us. They can't have us because we've been put in a place of protection.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's one more thing I was gonna hit on. Can y'all take just a little bit more?
Yes.
Matthew 8:33. Matthew 8:33, and we're going to read down through about verse 43. The herdsmen fled, went into the town, and reported everything, including what had happened to the men under the power of demons. Did I write that down right? Yeah, I think so. Verse 34. And behold, the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and as soon as they saw him, they begged him to depart from their locality. Verse 35. No? I wrote it down wrong. Matthew 8. Where was I going? That's the last one. We'll go to this one instead. Luke 4:42. Luke 4:42-43. And we'll read that one in the King James. When daybreak came, and when it was day, he departed. Thank you, that's a lot easier to read. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him, came unto him, and stayed with him, that he should not depart from them. Verse 43. And he said unto them, I must preach what?
The kingdom of God.
Where? To other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Now Luke 4, we've hit on Luke 4 a couple of times this week. But what I find interesting about this portion of Scripture is that Jesus was compelled by one thing and one thing only. What the Spirit of God led him to do.
Yeah. Amen.
You remember when he was at the wedding and they ran out of wine.
Right.
And his mom comes up to him and she's like, hey, they're out of wine. And what did he say? Woman, what's that got to do with me? I'm not here to bartend. What's that got to do with me?
Yeah.
That's not my responsibility nor my job. He was never compelled or moved by emotions, feelings, or contrary thoughts that came to his mind.
Amen.
The only thing that propelled him and motivated him was the kingdom of God and what the will of God was for him.
Amen.
Now here, we begin to see that in the beginning of Luke 4, you know where he came out of the river, then he goes and he sits down in the chair, and a lot of people didn't like that.
Yeah.
And they said, who is he? Just the son of Joseph, who's a carpenter. They went through all of these different things. But as he continues through, there begins to be people who know who he is, and they're excited about him showing up, and he starts laying hands on people, starts getting sick people healed. And so he's sitting there conversing with them. And they beseech him. They say, will you stay here with us? Will you please reside here with us? But what motivated him was, look at this. He said unto them, I must preach what?
The kingdom of God
to other cities also, for therefore what?
Am I sent.
And understanding the assignment that God has placed on each and every one of us, never allow the emotions or the feelings of other people. I get it. We have loved ones that'll come up to us, and in calamity, they don't know how to respond. Your job is not to try to take on their problems for them.
Amen.
Your job is not to try and make their problems go away. Your job as a child of God is to show them the kingdom of God through your actions and through your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Jesus was not going to be moved. He was appreciative that, hey, you guys were receptive to me. But he still knew what his assignment and what his job was. People will come and people will go. They will. They'll come into the church and they'll be, Dr. Dufresne would say this all the time. He would say people would come up and they would be so excited about the message and they'd be like, we're right behind you. He said, you'd turn around, they were so far behind me I couldn't see them. Meaning what? They come excited about what God's doing and then they find a new fad and they move on. Do not allow that to distract you, to deter you, or to take you off of track with what God has told you to do.
Amen.
You keep guard. Under pressure and under fire, people will leave. If an embassy starts getting bombed, you know the last person to leave? The ambassador. Because their job is to hold their post and to stay in place. But when you do it in peace and in joy, there is nothing the enemy can do. Do not allow the lies and the thoughts that he will bring to you that he is going to overthrow and rob you. They're lies. Yeah. There is one thing that you can count on from the enemy. He is a liar. Yeah. And he's really good at it. Every time he talks, that's a lie. Every time he says something to you, that's a lie. Our job as children of God to inherit the kingdom of God is to become so skillful with how the fundamentals of the kingdom of God work and operate, and to begin to distribute them, not only amongst ourselves, but to train up those around us who will listen. But if people don't want to listen, don't get upset. Don't become distraught. Your assignment is yours, and God will bring people alongside you to ensure that you will fulfill all that God's called you to. He will not leave you. I love what, I believe it was David, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed what?
Begging
bread. That means supplyless. I have never seen the seed, the children of God, going supplyless. When you're in your place, when you're doing what God has told you to do, when you are demonstrating the kingdom of God, there is always a supply for your life that will bring you to that place in that oasis. So when others are in a desert place, they're dry and they come to you, they'll find refreshingness. And they'll come up alongside you. The people you think won't make it, they'll sometimes be the strongest ones. One more thing I'll leave you with. When David was in the wilderness, he was living out of caves, running from Saul. He was out there in a cave, and God said, I'm going to bring some people to you. I'm going to bring some up around you. Could you imagine? It said that these were the lowest of the lows. These were scoundrels. These were beggars. These were the worst of the worst people. Do you think David was like, God, maybe you could bring some other people that are already skilled in what we're doing out here? Too many times when people come in and they look like they're already skilled and ready for the part, they try to uproot and they'll try to have a mutiny in the middle of it. But God will bring you sometimes the worst of the worst, and you'll be like, God, what are we supposed to do with them? And he'll say, train them. I'm not looking at the skill that's on them. I'm looking at the heart. Show them the things of my kingdom and they'll become strong, mighty men of valor. They will be the people that will stick with you. Remember when David was standing there and he wanted to drink from the well? And he said, oh, if I could only have from my father's well, the one that was over there. And there was, what was it, three men?
Three men
of mighty valor. And they heard what the man of God said. And what did they do? They took it upon themselves to fulfill what it was that their king, to them, he was their king, what his heart's desire was. They said, did you hear what Dad wants? Let's go get it. I don't care about the rest of the army. I don't care if other people that were supposed to help don't show up and help. We know what to do. We've been trained in battle. We can handle this. Let's go get it. And these three men fought their way through the army. And you have to think about this. There is one man that's filling up, and the other two are like, are you almost done? It's one thing to defend. I mean, the 12 disciples tried to keep the press off of Jesus, and they couldn't do it. You think about two men, and this army's like, what are they doing? And these three dudes are like, spearhead. I'm going in. You guys are on my side. And they're like, let's go. And they just run in the midst of them, fight their way in, and the army's like, I don't understand this tactic. Where are they going? And they get to the well and they start filling up and they're like, hurry up. Anytime would be nice. And they get back over to David. They fight their way in. They fight their way out. And they come out unscratched. And they bring it to David and he said, what you guys have done, this is too valuable to drink. And he pours it out as an offering to God. Those are the men and women you want coming up beside you. Because they value your heart, but your heart of the leadership, you understand that your heart is just as much as theirs. We want to serve the master.
Amen.
But be encouraged as you demonstrate the kingdom of God principles and you put them into practice, you put them into play in your life, there will be people that will come up around you that you never thought would be of value. When you looked at the men that came to David, you would think, this is not an army. This is not an army.
Amen.
But yet as they begin to see the principles that David lived out in front of them, they didn't just go from being an army, but it began to be called the Mighty Men of Valor.
Amen.
And they accomplished every assignment that God gave David.
Amen.
It wasn't the skill set of the men. It was the heart of those that were surrounded around them. That's why God will assemble people in a congregation, because they'll come up under the pastor and they'll see the heart of the pastors and they'll say, "That's my heart. I know the mission. I know the assignment that's been put on this church. That's what we're going." What if people don't want to stay with us? Bless them as they go. We love y'all. If you're not with us, we understand. But our heart is to go with what God's told us to do. And as we demonstrate the kingdom, we'll see the kingdom of God bloom and blossom in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, that was all I have. I'll finish up with that.
Hallelujah.